You're listening to The Striking Corner, your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Striking Corner podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and this is actually episode 25 of our podcast. And as always, I am joined by my good friend all the way from New York, Mr. Vinny Scotto. What's up, man?
Hey, Eric. How we doing today?
Man, I guess we're doing all right, man. We're doing all right. As you know, man, I think I've been complaining a lot lately. On the podcast, I've been like just persistently under the weather, man. I don't know what the hell is going on. So I've been like, first I had that thing where I thought I was going to die and I almost thought I thought I was having a heart attack. And then, when I thought I was over that, I came down with what seems to be a really, really, just really, really bad cold, almost a case of the flu pretty much. And, so I've been like pretty much laid up for about a week now. And
all comes down to is that you're pretty much just a little bitch.
That's probably it, man. thanks for calling me out. But yeah, that's probably it, man. Yeah, no, bro. I just a bad cold. And then, actually, it's affected our podcast in a sense because we've had to, rebook our guest over and over and over again. And then we had a couple of different things going on with that. So finally.
Well, that was both of us.
Yeah. So, what was your problem calling me a bitch? What was your problem?
I was on anesthesia and groggy as hell.
Oh, what happened?
I had to go for a PRP injection in my shoulder.
Oh, what is that? Oh, so you're on TRT?
PRP.
Oh, I'm injection. Sorry. I'm sorry. What's PRP? Like a cortisone shot kind of thing for your shoulder again?
No. It's actually not a cortisone.
Okay.
PRP, I think it's called like plasma rich platelet something.
Uh-huh.
Where the cortisone shot just gets rid of the pain and reduces inflammation. It's a steroid. The PRP actually is supposed to repair the damage that's done. So.
Oh, okay.
We'll see if it works.
All right. Well, I mean, I know you've been dealing with that injury for a while now, man, which I know pretty much sucks. And you're just, what is it? You're trying to avoid surgery or something? Or is that what it's for?
Yeah, this is my last step before surgery. If this doesn't work, then that's the next option.
And how is that affecting your illustrious Muay Thai career, good sir?
Every time I actually try to start training again,
yeah,
it flares back up and there's nothing I can do.
Yeah, man. Well, I hear you, dude. I mean, I've been trying to get back into the gym and everything, and then just not only being sick, but dude, just killing me. You know, as some of you guys know, and I've said it before, like, you know, I have my regular day job, and it's just actually like an hour away from where I live, actually. So the commute kills me, and now, man, now it's just with the baby and everything, man. I don't know. A lot of times, I think it's tough, man, because I think now I've totally understood what it is to be a dad, because I don't know, man, I just want to be home all the time with him, especially because he's young right now and everything. So I just kind of want to be there for and not miss a lot of stuff, you know, when they're young and shit. So I'm really just trying to get home and be here for when he's like learning how to smile and laugh, and hopefully I don't miss his words and all that stuff. So that's been taking a toll on trying to get into the gym, but then also being sick, man. So I've had to stay away from my kid for like a week also, because I don't want to get him sick or anything. But yeah.
Well, maybe if someone listening wants to, you know, sponsor our podcast, maybe then you could quit your day job and just stay home with Lucas all day.
Yeah, well, that would be awesome. That would be living the dream, or living a little bit in the dream world. But we have to live in reality, Vinny. And in reality is that we don't have, we don't have the, we don't have the numbers yet to sustain that. So there's about 500, 600 of you out there that listen to our podcast, really. And that's been pretty awesome. We're just trying to push those numbers to about 15,000, 20,000. So if you guys all have like 1,000 more friends that you can, inform them about the podcast, that would be lovely. So, but no, it's actually, man, I mean, I've been pretty happy with it. I mean, I think it's, you got to be slow and steady, man. You just got to keep doing it, man, because I really feel like there's only a few people that actually doing podcasts and are trying to talk with the fighters that are Muay Thai. And we've all seen that, you know, the UFC is growing and MMA is growing. And so it's kind of like, you know, they get a lot of exposure media wise and all that type of stuff. And there's not that much for Muay Thai or kickboxing. So really, you know, I think we're doing a good thing, and I hope people out there, you guys enjoy it and like hearing, you know, that getting to know some of these fighters a little bit more, because there's not a lot of media going on when it comes to the fight game, when it comes to Muay Thai and kickboxing. So, and speaking of that, I mean, I know me and you were just discussing, I was actually on, speaking of being on other media outlets, I was actually on our good friend, the Muay Thai guy, his podcast that was on there about a week ago. So we were discussing, which I know you were pretty into it. One of the writers, Charlie Hustle, released an article about, you know, why Muay Thai has been, and kickboxing have kind of been lagging behind in the sport growing. So, I mean, you read that article? You were into that article?
Yeah, I read it. And I agreed with probably, if not 100% of what he said, at definitely 95%.
Yeah. Well, I mean, usually I'm the one who, you know, comes on here and spits all this bullshit and talks a lot about the sport. But I mean, I know you really want to grow it. I mean, I know you agreed with it, but what do you feel is something that you would like to see change or what you agreed with article?
The thing that I agreed the most about was how he mentioned that, you know, everything in Muay Thai to help grow the sport is really geared towards the people who are already fans.
Yeah.
People who are the purists, the traditionalists. That's what everything is geared towards.
Yeah.
And that's not going to help the sport grow as much as, you know, in, you know, not a lot of words is we have to, it's got to change. It has to evolve. It can't be traditional as we want it to be. It can't be exactly what we wanted. We have to go in different directions.
No, yeah, and I totally agree with that. And I think it's something that, you know, basically, guys, so you guys that are listening, definitely check out the recent podcast that I had with Sean Fagan, the Muay Thai guy. But it's something that I'm continuing here and saying, and Vinny brought up a good point, and something that I think I've learned over the last couple of years, too, is as I've gotten older, you realize, yeah, you love all these, like, it's just like growing up, too, man, because it's like with anything. Now that I've gotten older, you know, like, you know, kind of relating it to where I'm at right now in my own life, you know, it's like, now that I've gotten older and I've had, you know, I've had my son, now what I do is I look at things and it's like, you know, it's really not so much about, you know, what I want or what I want to enjoy. It's really like, man, I got to make the money because I want to make ends meet and make sure that my kid has everything he needs. You know what I mean? And so in a way, I think that's kind of like what I've looked at. Now I've realized, you know, you kind of have to go a different route. And the same thing kind of applies to business in the sense that, you know, Muay Thai is at that stage where it's growing, but you know, it's just like that. You gotta push aside all the things that those things that you were like so diehard and picky and snobby about, you know, that was like, oh, we need the music, we need the Mong Kong, we need this, we need that, you know, all that type of stuff that we need to let everybody know that it's from Thailand and that, you know, this is the tradition and this is that. And, you know, all this type of stuff, which I like, and I agree with keeping those some aspects of that. But a lot of those things are going to have to change if you really want to grow it here in the United States. And that's the thing. I think a lot of diehard fans, and Charlie Hustle mentioned it in that article, a lot of diehard fans, man, it's just that we've gotten to this point where it's kind of like we're kind of snobby about Muay Thai in the sense that, like, oh, if people don't understand the Mong Kong, then that's not real Muay Thai. Like, if this guy doesn't come out and wear Muay Thai shorts, then he's not really a Muay Thai guy. And, you know, and all these, like, these things. And so we expect to see that stuff. But, like, to the common fan, man, that shit is like that stuff is not what they want to see, man, you know? And especially here in the United States, it's the drama, bro. We want to see, they want to see fighters and they want to get to know these fighters and they want these guys to, I mean, just look at the Conor McGregor effect that's been in the UFC, man. I don't personally like the guy. I don't like all the shit talking and all that stuff, but dude, that last event he filled just at the weigh-ins. It was crazy. You know, just the weigh-ins, people were just wanted to see him get weighed in because he's that loudmouth guy that backs it up. You know what I mean? And that's, a lot of people want to see that. you know, and
yeah,
I think we need that type of character. I mean, it's funny because I'll go to somebody that you know, a lot of us know in the sport. You know, you look at somebody like Joe Schilling, and obviously, I mean, he's not a trash talker in the sense of like a Conor McGregor or anything like that. But you know, he has that sort of, you know, rough around the edges attitude, but that he's like, you know, he's got a following and people like him, and you know, he backs up what he says, and he's got that, you know, like hardcore bravado to get in the ring, and he doesn't care, and he's gonna fight and give his best, and you know, he's gonna go in there and he's gonna back up what he says. And so a lot of people like that about Joe Schilling, and they've liked it about him in kickboxing, and he's probably one of our biggest stars, and look where he's going now too, man. He's going to MMA because that's where the money is, man. So I don't know, man. I did agree a lot with that article too, man. And there's just so much stuff that needs to change, or that we just got to realize that, you know, this isn't going to happen if we're just marketing, as you say, to the diehard Muay Thai fan.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I do have to say there are some things about, you know, that Glory is doing that really is going to help.
Yeah.
You know, like they're doing that event where they're doing it with Bellator, and they're going to have a ring and a cage at the same event.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Dynamite show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's going to bring, you know, MMA fans, that's going to bring kickboxing onto their TVs.
Yeah.
They're going to have no choice but to watch it. And I guarantee you, most of them will like it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing, man. You know, with Glory, I've kind of like, there's some things that I've seen, man. Like they've done these matchups that a lot of people are like, oh man, you know, where are they finding these fighters? You know, there was this contender heavyweight tournament. It was just kind of like, you know, these guys were all American guys that not many people knew about or whatever. But the thing is, man, not many people knew about them, at least by the diehard perspective. You know what I mean? But the thing is, yeah, nobody else other than the diehards know guys like, especially here in the States, know guys like Rico Verhoeven and Daniel Guida and Gokhan Saki. Like, dude, Americans aren't going to tune into that because there's a lot of Americans that don't know who those guys are. And especially they're foreigners. And so I think what Glory was trying to do is get some of these American names that are young, up and coming, trying to make it into sport, and see if they could put those names, even though they're unknown to even the diehard fans, but they're not unknown to the casual fans, and these casual fans can start seeing them and kind of getting a background and story from the beginning. And also the fact that they're American probably helps. And I think, you know, I think the ratings actually helped on the shows that were more, that had more American fighters than the ones that had the diehard foreigner, and like the foreigners that we all know, you know, that all the diehard fans know, you know? So I even though I don't like it as much, and I discussed that also on that podcast with Sean, I understand what they're doing. You know, I understand what they're doing. And it's like, dude, look at the next fight. It's Nicky Holtzkin versus Raymond Daniels. It could have totally been a better fight. Maybe Nicky Holtzkin against Mark DeBont, who was actually a guy who gave Joseph Altolini a really good fight. And we all know Joseph Altolini was pretty much the next in line to take on that fight. But, you know, he's out because he got injured, and he has, you know, he's dealing with the post-concussion syndrome. So they had to fill it up. And Raymond Daniels is like the American highlight reel kid, you know, that does all this spinning stuff that people tune in. And people that are diehard fans, a lot of them don't like Raymond Daniels' style, that are diehard kickboxing fans. But to the casual fan, man, he's interesting. You know what I mean? So I see why they're doing that, and I kind of understand it. And it's like, I guess we have to make some sacrifices now if we want to see it grow, you know? Glory's doing the right thing. They're removing a lot of things that we've, you know, that a lot of that me and you love, you know, things like, obviously, since they're not a complete Muay Thai show, they don't have like Y Cruz or music or Mong Cons, or, you know, they don't have elbows kickboxing and stuff. Yeah. And they're kickboxing. And so they don't have elbows and stuff.
They don't have that to begin with.
Yeah. But I mean, that's why I think, yeah, of course they don't have that to begin with, but I think that is why we've seen Glory on more of a mainstream, at least in a mainstream channel, than we've seen something like Lion Fight, you know?
Yeah. It also does have to do with the channel, because, you know, you guys were actually talking about it on the Muay Thai guy.
Yeah.
Not everybody has Access TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's actually not even available to all people.
Yeah.
So, you know, Lion Fight's Access, and being that it's there, not everyone can watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and that's totally it. And the same thing, but the thing I was saying to Sean is like, we don't know the intricacies and the details behind, what's going on with, Scott Kent and Lion Fight and Christine and what they're doing in order to get that deal and how long that deal is. Like I was saying to Sean too, we don't even know if there's any other takers for Lion Fight at this moment on a more mainstream channel, So it's like, we kind of, but I think the idea with Lion Fight that I love about, I mean, I like Lion Fight because it's really the only traditional Muay Thai show in a large scale that we have, And there's a lot of things that we can clean up. Like, some people don't like, everybody knows I'm not really a big fan of Pat Miletich as a commentator. There's certain things that we want to get changed on the way they say they look at the rules or whatever, So there's those little things that I think they've heard over and over and over again, and that we hopefully they'll change or whatnot, but they're going to go through those growing pains regardless. But, I think that kind of in a lot of ways, slow and steady sometimes is the way you win things. Cause I think Glory's made some mistakes going too big, too fast with the pay-per-view show for Last Man Standing that didn't get any numbers that they wanted at all, and they probably lost money. And Lion Fight on the other hand has been going, growing steadily. Like, now I kind of go back and realize that people were talking about how Lion Fight was only using the same fighters over and over again and local guys from the Vegas area and all that type of stuff. And I think, man, they just knew what was working and was giving them money in order to sustain and have more shows. So that's what they were doing. And I think, and slowly but surely, man, they've grown. Now they have had shows on the East Coast. They've had shows on the West Coast. Now we're getting guys like, we're getting bigger fighters that are getting onto these shows like Yats and Klai and other fighters as well. And they were going to have Cam on there before he got injured. So you have bigger and bigger names. So I think it's slowly getting to the point we want. And hopefully, as it gets bigger, if they keep on doing it, and the consistency is key. It's like we say with this podcast, if the more we do it, the more it's going to continue to grow, more people are going to listen to it. So with Lion Fight, I think the consistency is key, and hopefully one day they'll be on a more mainstream channel that we can all see, people can actually see Muay Thai, the real Muay Thai, the way it should be, fought or whatever, in a larger show here in the States. And then it'll have competition. Glory will have competition, and I think it'll have no choice but to improve too, man.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So, that was something I guess we wanted to talk about because it's kind of the hot topic right now, guys. I mean, I know you guys, a lot of people have been talking about it. Like we said, we recommend you guys check out that article, check out the podcast with myself on it on the Muay Thai Guy. You can check it out at muay-thai-guy.com. Sean Fagan's a good friends of ours, been really supportive of everything we do here at the Striking Corner, so check that out. Also, check out the article. I think Charlie Hustle is the writer. He just released, I think, the second part of that article talking about the drama and bringing in more drama and, I guess, bigger characters, and hopefully we can develop more characters in this sport as well, that people that become household names for Muay Thai fans and casual, Muay Thai fans. So anyway, keep an eye on that stuff as well. With that said, we actually have a pretty cool guest on this podcast today, man. I'm actually pretty excited. He's a guy that Vinny and I have both sort of watched. I think a lot of you guys that have followed Muay Thai have watched blossom into what he is right now. He's still blossoming and getting bigger in the sport. We've had a lot of these young up-and-coming guys, with guys like Gaston and Onion Topich and Spencer. So we've kind of been falling in that same vein. And the guy we're going to have on the podcast today is Victor Saravia. He's actually a fighter from California. He fights out of Muay Thai America Gym in North Hollywood, California. And currently, Victor is on an undefeated streak. He's 3-0 as a professional, and he's been extremely, extremely impressive. I think Vin and I have, we've mentioned it. Like, he's like a little guy, like a Zambides, man, but a Muay Thai Zambides, man, just all like, power and combinations and low kicks and just brutal, man. So I'm really excited to have him.
He's good.
Yeah. He's very, very good. I'm really excited to have him on the podcast. And so we will be speaking with Victor Saravia in a little bit. But before we do that, just a couple of announcements. As always, as you guys know, we are partnered up with InFight Style, so you guys can actually get InFight Style has awesome t-shirts, shorts. They're really well known for their custom-made shorts and their custom-made walkout jackets. So you guys can actually get 10% off at InFightStyle.com by using the promo code STRIKING. Also, we are also a Yokal power seller, so you guys can get 10% off on all Yokal gear, which they also make some incredible gear, gloves, you know, shorts, pads, everything that you need for your gym. A lot of top-notch fighters in the game use their stuff. We got, you guys know, obviously guys like Buakaw, Sanchai, Liam Harrison, Jordan Watson, all those guys, are part of Yokal. They, are put their names behind Yokal. And, you know, Yokal is a really, really great brand. We love their stuff. We support their stuff. So we are Yokal Power Seller. Go to yokal.com and you can actually use the promo code Striking Corner. You can access all of these websites via our website as well by clicking on any of the banners and using the promo code there. 10% off at Yokal. And then last but not least, we also have onnit.com. Onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T, total performance optimization for you guys. It's got supplements and all sorts of workout gear, clothing. Really, really cool website. I use their supplements. I use it for training and everything to, you know, keep in shape or just get more, have more energy to train and all that. So I've been using some of their supplements and I really like it a lot. So go to onnit.com and use the promo code GETONIT. And you can also access them, obviously, through our website as well. And you get 10% off anything there. And that is actually, we actually have one more that we just added, which is Low Blow. Low Blow is the new, basically the new evolution in the groin cup. And CompetitiveAce.com is the only website that is currently distributing the Low Blow groin cup. A lot of people have been supporting this cup. A lot of people have said that it's, you know, basically the Thai cup evolved. So you guys can definitely check that out as well. You guys can actually get some $5 off the Low Blow groin cup. I'm sorry, $10 off the Low Blow groin cup. If you enter via our website, you'll see on the right hand side on the banner for the Low Blow groin cup, and you can actually get your discount there. So check that out as well, guys. We have a lot of different goodies that you guys can basically save some money on for a lot of different types of gear. So check it out, guys. Check it out at strikingcorner.com or go and see all those banners, click on those banners and use those promo codes so that you guys can get gear for a lot cheaper. All right, guys. So we will be we have Victor ready to go. So we will be right back with Victor Saravia, who is today's guest on The Striking Corner. All right, everybody. Welcome back to The Striking Corner. And we are here with our very special guest. This young man, 21 years of age, is currently actually steamrolling his way in Lion Fight and in the pro ranks. He's currently has a record of 3-0 as a professional, and he has really impressed in every single one of his fights for Lion Fight. I know he's a fan favorite. A lot of people like the way he fights, and a lot of people, especially Vinny and I, have definitely been watching his fights and definitely want to keep an eye on how he keeps and continues to progress and surprise everybody in Muay Thai. Somebody that you guys should all definitely keep an eye on, Mr. Victor Saravia. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Appreciate that intro, man.
I know, man. You know, that's something that, you know, like I told you off air that one time. I mean, I think everybody, I mean, a lot of people know you, obviously. A lot have seen you fight in the last, you've already had three fights on Lion Fight. And, you know, Every single one of them has been really exciting. But the last fight was the one that you fought with Sam Poulton, correct? That was probably, for a lot of people, definitely went down as the fight of the year in a lot of ways for American Muay Thai, and that was a really, really exciting fight, man. And we'll get into that one a little bit later, but you know, tell us a little bit more about you. I know you're a young guy, 21 years of age. You're currently living training in California, so tell us a little bit about, how did you get started in Muay Thai? How did you find Muay Thai? And so let's kind of start from the beginning. Have you always been involved in the martial arts? Was this something, did you always like fighting? How did you discover Muay Thai?
The reason why I got into Muay Thai was because I was getting into trouble trouble a lot. I was involved in like gangs and doing drugs and stuff like that. And I was fighting in the streets a lot, and my friend was actually doing jiu-jitsu. Uh-huh. So he just asked me if I could join him or like something to stay away from doing the street fights, because it was obviously not going to take me anywhere and I was just going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. So I went with him, took a jiu-jitsu class, did that for a couple of weeks. And after that, like, I saw this guy, John Dongending, who mm-hmm. was teaching Muay Thai, and he was charging everyone $8 just to try the class. So I tried it out and I fell in love with it like right away. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a really big, like, special gym, like something nice. It was just like a weightlifting gym with a little Muay Thai spot. So mm-hmm. it was just like a really humble and like in a way a peaceful spot to train at. Mm-hmm. So the guy charged me $8 to train. And after that, he saw, like, I guess he saw my potential, and then he told me if I wanted to fight, and he stopped charging me. Mm-hmm. So I just kept training, and eventually I just kept going at it, and I didn't stop.
Yeah, man.
How old were you when you started?
I was 16 when I started.
Okay, man. So actually, you're definitely, man, your rise has been pretty meteoric, basically saying that you're just blowing up really quickly, because 16, you're 21. I mean, that's not, you haven't been involved in the sport too long, and you've already showcased your skills, definitely showcase, an experience a lot more than your age. So definitely, man, that's something really, that's really impressive. So going into, you know, you're saying the funny thing is, that is a common subject that we've kind of run into with a lot of the guys that we've interviewed, that you have, you know, your guys that have always either had trouble, or they were just guys that were really hyper, or they liked to fight, they would get in trouble and all that. Now, the funny thing is that you say that, you know, you were getting into trouble, that you were, you know, involved in gangs, and, you know, were having fights on the street and all that type of stuff. But the thing that strikes me as odd is because you have, you know, man, when I've seen you and I've kind of talked to you a little bit online and we've had these interactions, you're totally respectful dude and seem calm. You don't seem like a guy that gets in a lot of fights. But I mean, has Muay Thai helped calm you down? Is this something that you felt like, you were saying that you felt like, you know, where your life was headed didn't have much of a future? Has Muay Thai helped you, I guess, calm down and kind of channel all your energy into something more positive?
I was never a hyper or crazy dude. I was mm-hmm. I don't know. I was just that kind of guy that if you wanted to fight, I would always say yes. You know, I would never back down to anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
but I wasn't the type to go look for a fight or, you know, or mm-hmm. be a hyper kid that I needed to use my energy for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So ever since I've got into Muay Thai, I've always had that calm, like, personality. I wasn't a wild guy. Mm-hmm. But I, in a way, I was an energy guy. I was always, like, jumping around, maybe sparring a lot. Like, maybe that made me hyper and energized. But
yeah,
ever since I got into this, I wasn't as crazy as like most gangsters are. I was just mostly the calm one. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's what I use a lot in my fights, because I feel like the calmer you are, the more you can see your opponent's mistakes, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, so basically once you started doing Muay Thai, because obviously you said that you wanted to do Muay Thai and you said that you started training Muay Thai. Once you started doing Muay Thai, was the prospect of fighting and getting in the ring? Because there's a lot of people that do Muay Thai and love Muay Thai just for the sport of it. They don't actually consider mm-hmm. ever getting in the ring and fighting. Now, was that something that once you started doing it and started training in Muay Thai, you were like, okay, I want to go all the way with this and I want to compete, and I want to fight in the ring? Or was it something that slowly started growing on you, or did you immediately know and it immediately clicked that this is what you wanted to do, was fight competitively?
I've always wanted to join martial arts. I've never had the money to do it. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to fight. My family, my dad was a wrestler. I have cousins who are like black belts in taekwondo and karate. Mm-hmm. And my whole family were athletic. So I've always wanted to test myself, and I've always wanted to fight, definitely, because I've seen UFC, but I've never wanted to join MMA for some reason. Mm-hmm. And so, I I took the Muay Thai class with John, and in a month I got my first fight. But I've never thought I would. I didn't want to go pro at that moment. That wasn't in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So like maybe like after my 10th amateur fight, I was like, you know what? Like, I feel like I'm pretty good at this. Like I want to challenge myself more. Like I didn't feel there was enough competition for me in the amateurs, or mm-hmm. or enough fear to push me to my limits, you know?
Yeah.
So I talked to my trainer and I told him I wanted to go professional, and a year later I turned pro.
Very cool, very cool. Well, you know,
so you took your first amateur fight after a month?
No, I did a smoker after a month.
Okay.
Which is like an underground Muay Thai.
That's still pretty impressive. Well, there's some people that start training and even after a month they don't even like to spar yet.
Yeah, but you definitely doesn't seem like that. You seem like you said that you were somebody who was always down to get to, you know, if somebody wanted to fight, you were ready to fight. So I'm pretty sure that I think that you, from what you're saying, that bug of like, you know, wanting to get in the ring and compete, whether it was being professional or not professional, you know, professional is like already bringing in sort of the monetary and that's how you're going to make a living. But that bug of wanting to fight has always been pretty much in you. So. Yeah. So the thing that's pretty impressive. So what I want to know also is, so you had how many fights? So you said you had 10 fights before, because that's actually also very cool, man, because that's kind of a humble approach to the way Muay Thai is. Because nowadays you see so many guys that, you know, we see it happen in MMA, and it's like where a lot of MMA fighters didn't have like a long amateur career. It's like they immediately just look for the dollar sign. So pretty much once they've had maybe like 7 or 8 MMA fights, they're immediately going pro. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you see that a lot less in Muay Thai, because it seems like a lot of guys go and have a more solid amateur career before they ever decide to go pro. Now in your case, I think, you know, you did, how many amateur fights did you do before you actually decided, you know what, I need to go pro?
I had 13 amateur fights and maybe 20 smoker fights.
Oh, okay. So yeah. So at the end of the day, we're talking about like almost an amateur career of something like 30 odd fights, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you took it pretty much the route that most, or I believe, you know, a lot of top trainers in the U.S. kind of tell their students, you know, before you ever consider going pro, you know, you want to have something like 30 something fights or 40 something fights under your belt.
Yeah.
So you kind of went that route and you did that. And it shows, man, because it really shows now that you're a pro, you just, man, I mean, I just can't get over it, because really, honestly, the times that I've seen you fight, and I think the first time that I saw you fight, man, was actually your pro debut, at least in my case, because we're here on the East Coast. So we don't get to see a lot of the amateur circuit when it comes on the West Coast, when it comes to the West Coast. But your first fight was with Anthony Castrejon, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, for Lion Fight. And now that's a pretty solid debut, because Anthony's no slouch, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a pretty solid debut. And I remember seeing that fight, and I just remember seeing, you know, I'm just going to go and tell you kind of like what I remember seeing. I just remember seeing this like jacked little dude, you know, just going in there, man. And like, you really took it to him, man. And you like, it just, I think, I remember, since I had already seen Anthony Castrejon a couple of times fighting at Lion Fight or on other cards. And I was like, oh, okay. So this guy's making his pro debut. Anthony is probably going to be, I wasn't saying going to be an easy fight, but it's kind of like it was going to be a fight that was more along the lines as trying to build his name more than it was for you, you know? And man, you kind of threw a monkey wrench into that, dude. So basically, man, so I'm just saying, yeah, so that's kind of how I got introduced to you. And ever since then, I don't think we're the only people that were impressed. You've impressed every single person that I've talked to. Every single time that they've seen you fight has been very solid. And the thing is, not only that, you fought Anthony Castrejon first, then you went and fought Andy Singh, who's a really well-known name for us in the New York scene.
Yeah.
And then from there you went to fight Sam Poulton. So I mean, was all of this when they told you you were going to go pro, when they said that you were going to go pro, How did you feel when they said, you know, Anthony and Andy? I mean, do these names mean anything to you, or were you just like, oh, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to do this, you know?
I've always knew about Anthony Castrejón, maybe when I was like 17 or 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of looked up to him before because I thought he was a great fighter and he was knocking people out with his head kicks.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing him at a K-1 show and I said to myself, I'm going to end up fighting this guy. And I was an amateur at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this guy is my idol, but I know for a fact that we're going to end up fighting. And like, a year passed by, and then they told me, like, oh, you're going to make your pro – you want to make your pro debut with Anthony Castrejón. And I was just, like, a little shocked because, you know, he's a guy I looked up to.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, like, I seen his Facebook status saying that, oh, I can't wait to knock this kid out. Like, like I want Jason. Like, I kind of found that a little disrespectful.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, you should never –
underestimate anybody.
Past any opponent,
yeah.
The way I see it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And at the weigh-ins, I remember we're weighing in, and he told me he was going to knock me out. So, like, I took that very personal, and I pushed myself, like, so hard for this camp just to beat him because, like, for somebody that I looked up to and admired, for him to, like, disrespect me like that, it was just like, oh, like, I looked up to the wrong person, you know?
Yeah, so it lit a fire under you even more.
yeah
definitely. All right, so actually one thing that I didn't want to, we kind of glossed over it, so I don't want to leave it out. So you were saying mm-hmm. that you were training with another gym, and I know currently you're training, when you first started Muay Thai you were training with another gym, or you were training at a gym that was like a workout gym or whatever, and yeah. then now currently you are training in North Hollywood at Muay Thai America gym, correct?
Yes.
So how did that, and you know, the Muay Thai America gym is under David Huey and was it Crusanti or what? Who is it?
Yeah, Crusanti.
Okay. So how did you discover them, and how did that journey begin with them?
Okay. So our gym, the first gym I was ever at was like a gold's gym, like a golden gym,
uh-huh.
like bodybuilders and all this stuff. And there was a Taekwondo master who owned that gym. And then me and my other partner, Ming Freeman, who's another pro at our gym, mm-hmm. we would kick the bags and stay hours. And then they had like little medals under, like the things to hold the bags.
Yeah.
And we would always break them. And then the guy would get mad, like, because he had to pay to fix it. So then after a while, we had a little bit more fights. And then John came up to us and he said, like, I don't think they want us here anymore. And then John knew David and Santi, so he brought us over here. And then this is where, like, our amateur career started, like, coming to Muay Thai America Gym.
Yeah. So you said you had your first smoker at the other gym with John, correct? But then, yeah. So you, was that the only fight you ever had at that gym? So everything else has been under Muay Thai America Gym?
Or? I had, I probably had two or three smokers with John at that gym, and then I came here, I had a couple more smokers, had my amateur fights at Muay Thai America gym.
Okay, I gotcha. All right, man, so let's move a little bit into where, you know, the one thing that I love about your style, so we'll talk about, like, what attracted you to Muay Thai, because, I mean, the thing is, really, man, your style is it's super clean, you have a very good Muay Thai technique, obviously, you have some brutal low kicks, but the thing that I love the most about you is your ability to, like, just put, like, just hard, fast, and just brutal combinations together, man. They're just, it's crisp, clean hands, but then, like, brutal kicks, either to the low kicks or the midsection, and then, like, obviously, occasionally, you're going to throw those head kicks to try to knock guys out, but you put everything together. So how would you describe your style? Because I wouldn't say it's a very traditional Muay Thai style. It seems like you've combined a lot of different, you have like, you have the boxing, you have, you work the low kick a lot. So what is, when you first started training in a Muay Thai, what has been the aspect that was most something that you wanted to work on, or how would you describe your style?
I've always been really comfortable with my boxing.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually went for boxing for like 4 months just to get some techniques down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came back to Muay Thai, and, the person I try to mimic would be Raymond Dekker.
Oh, okay.
So Yeah. So I would like to mix my power punches with my kicks, well, everything pretty much with power, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's kind of, it's funny because it's funny that you say that because now that you've said that, man, your style definitely mimics Ramon Dekker's because you're a guy that comes forward. You're a guy that throws a lot of power, but very crisp, clean combinations, some solid low kicks, man. Like I keep on telling you, man, I'm very impressed and I'm kind of in awe of when I see you fight because I really enjoy your style because I think it's a style that is super attractive to the fans, you know? And so, you know, moving on from there, man, obviously the Sam Poulton fight is the one that everybody talked about, is the one that everybody, you know, after the fight was, I mean, that event, the event where the Sam Poulton fight was, I mean, there was obviously other big fights on that card. Yeah. But the one that everybody remembered, bro, the one that everybody remembered was your fight with Sam Poulton. And obviously he made it, honestly, like if we were to really look back at the fight, I mean, it's a fight that you dominated. It's a fight that you were really always, you know, being the one that was the aggressor and putting everything together and hurting him and consistently sort of beating him to the punch and dominating the fight. But the thing that was so amazing was obviously his ability to stay in there and not let you, you know, knock him out or put him away. And that just made it like just an incredible fight. So he made it, you know, talk to me a little bit about that fight. I mean, were you just amazed that you couldn't put this guy away?
Yeah, I was definitely amazed. Yeah. I've always, I had my training partner, Sheldon Gaines, who knocked him out with the head kick before.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I didn't want to follow that because I knew he would expect that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I tried to throw everything with so much power with everything that I had, but this guy wouldn't go down, man. Like I would hear him with every punch, like breathe out. But I would look at him. I was like, what the hell is wrong with this guy, man? I was in shock.
No, I mean, because it was crazy because, and everybody was saying it too. I mean, the commentators were like, dude, how is this guy still standing? And he kept coming. But see, this is the thing that also struck me when we were watching that, and I think a lot of people looked at it that way too. But I look at that too. It takes a lot when a fighter is not going down and you're fighting him and you're hitting him with everything you got. Some guys might have a tendency to either get demoralized because they can't put the guy away, or you know it starts kind of weighing on them, like, oh, maybe I don't have enough power to put this guy away. I'm not doing things right. You might get sloppy because you're starting to get angry that you can't put him away. But no, man, like that's another thing that I feel was amazing on your end was watching you consistently stick to the game plan, not get phased, not get flustered, not lose your cool. I mean, I know you were probably thinking, why does this guy not go down? But you kept on continuously doing the same thing. Was that something that you were like in your head, like, I don't want to lose my cool. I'm just going to keep doing it. And, you know, winning, if I have to win this on points, I'm going to win it on points. I'm going to try to put him away, but you know, I'm not going to, you weren't going to get sloppy. Was that something that was kind of going through your head at that moment or?
Actually like before, like this whole training camp for Sam Poulton.
Yeah.
I went vegan. I stopped doing weight training. I was working. I had to work on speed because I had some injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like the moment I was ready to go up next to fight Sam Poulton, like my arms felt dead. Like they didn't feel as strong. Like I felt weak. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was the change of my diet because I was my first time going vegan.
Yeah.
So that I feel like affected me. Like at that moment, I was like, oh, what if I can't knock him out? Like, so, and then like I just thought of my grandma and like said, you know, I have to believe in myself. I know this guy's going to come out here to cut me, to try and knock me out, but I can't let anything get in my way. You know, I should always be positive with what I do, weak or not, or injured. Like I know my skills and I should believe in my abilities, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I took right away going into the ring, you know?
Yeah.
I've always won a knockout, but I know, and at the pro careers, it's only gonna get tougher and tougher, you know.
Yeah.
And I knew Sam Poulton was gonna be a tough guy to beat. Like I would have to knock him out to win, but this guy didn't go down, you know.
Yeah.
So like the whole round, like my most precious thing to whenever I enter the ring is to stay calm, to never lose my cool, to not get angry, to not get frustrated, because that's the moment I'll start losing, you know.
Yeah.
Like the key point is just to stay as calm as possible.
Well, man, that's very, very well said, man, because that's something that a lot of guys, especially with only three professional fights under your belt, that's something that a lot of fighters, I'm pretty sure not every fighter has, man. And that kind of is a definitely a championship mentality, because there are a lot of guys that are, I mean, how would I say this? I think it's always difficult. I mean, I haven't fought at the professional level that you're at, but I have, a lot of fights under my belt as well. And I remember thinking to myself, it's difficult to keep yourself calm, man. You know, sometimes there are some guys that under pressure, they kind of lose it. And from what you're telling me and from what I see, your demeanor, it's really interesting, because you have, to me, you have a lot of the things that you look for in a fighter that is like, that's just sort of stone cold killer, man. You go in there and you're ready to go, and nothing is going to kind of take you out of there, and you have that, man. And that's like the way you just explained it makes a lot of sense. And that's one of the things that when you fought Sam was so noticeable, was that, you just kept trucking along, man. It was like, I'm pretty sure you thought you were going to KO him, but when you didn't lose your cool and you just kept doing it. So, yeah. Kudos to you, man. And like I said, just really, really impressive. So moving on from there, obviously July 31st, you're getting ready. You're training currently hardcore. You are at the gym right now. Tell me a little bit about what do you know about your opponent? I know you're going to be facing Stan Mancebo. Have you changed anything in your training? I mean, you don't have to give away too much of your strategy or whatnot, but how do you feel going into this fight? Everything's been going well?
Everything is really good. I've got back to my old routine, so I feel a lot stronger. I feel faster. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, because I don't know his record. I think it's one win and one loss, I think. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, for him to take the fight, like, a record like that kind of scares me. Yeah. For him to have, like, that confidence. So it gives me this fear, in a way, to train a lot harder, because if this guy's taking a fight because he either has a game plan to beat me or he knows how to beat me, so I try to use that fear as a motivation to train harder, because this guy has something, obviously, if he's taking this fight, and he, I've seen him fight Jason. He's a really good fighter, mm-hmm. But I do see some flaws, but then again, who knows, but I'm just training hard and expecting the unexpected,
Yeah, man. And that's something that you brought up a couple of times already, which is like, you don't think that anybody should underestimate anybody at any time. So it's obviously you're going in with the right mindset. The other thing that I wanted to talk about, obviously. So you don't know too much about him. Besides his record, you've seen him fight a couple of times, but there was a little video snippet that recently came out. Lion Fight released it. You were training. And there was something that I liked that you said. You were saying something about training hard, but you don't want to train too hard, but it's more about training smart. Now, what do you mean about training smart for you?
Listening to your body.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's say, I train hard every freaking day, every day, and then my body's telling me to. Mm-hmm. Because there's a point where your body either gets lazy, or there's a point where your body's giving you like an alert, like, oh, I can't do this, I can't,
Yeah.
So like the moment I feel like I'm lazy, then I come and train because I'm just being lazy,
Yeah.
But the moment I feel like, oh, damn, I think my body needs a rest, like, I'm going to let it heal, come back the next day and go hard again,
Yeah, yeah.
I have to listen, because my body is my temple. So whatever it tells me it wants, then I'll give it,
Definitely, man. I mean, and that's something cool that I've also noticed throughout our conversation. You seem like you're really, like you said, your body is your temple. So it seems like you're very in tune, and you are somebody that seems like you're very in tune and listens a lot to what your body is telling you. Obviously, you said you went vegan for one fight. You tried to do different things. So you're somebody you consistently listen to, because there's a lot of guys who train and they think that, like, just going hard and going ham in the gym every single day is how they're going to achieve, get results. But we all know that there is such thing as overtraining. There are things that you can push your body too hard. And you seem pretty in tune with trying to understand that, there's, I know that you were saying that, you know, something that you were saying is you, or we were talking about is you take naps, you try to rest your body, you know, like, so tell us a little bit of more about that.
Well, the reason why I take naps is because, every fighter takes naps, obviously, because they have to.
Yeah.
But the reason why, like, I try to give it as much naps as I can or feed it the right food is because if I come train here without, like, taking a nap and do, like, a sloppy job and not give 100% in my training, mm-hmm. so I'd rather, like, give it that rest so it could recover and then go hard once I wake up, you know?
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's a waste of time if you come to the gym and you don't have that power, you don't have your mindset right, you know? You got to give your body time to recover, you know? I feel like that's the most important thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Nah, man, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, really, honestly, like, this conversation has been great with you because you have so much, and I can't say it enough, man. Like, I've really been sort of inspired by what you do in the ring, how good you've looked in there, your talent. It's pretty impressive. And to see it tie in, because your personality, man, is honestly a big reason, I think, for your success as well, because it's the way you look at things. And I can definitely tell you're smart about your training. You're very involved in eating correctly and making all those adjustments in order to sort of fire on all cylinders the way you feel like you need to when it comes to fight time. So that's something that's really impressive. And for a guy that's, you know, 21 years of age, you know, not, you know, it's not like you have a worlds of experience like some of the fighters in Thailand, you know, that have more than 100, 200 fights or whatever, so they can fine tune it over the years. It seems like you've learned pretty much trial by fire. You've learned so much so quickly and you have the right mentality. And I honestly think that, you know, like I told people that are listening to this podcast right now, is to continue watching Victor, because I think the sky is the limit for you, man. You're going to continue on through this. And I know that currently in your weight class, there is, you know, there is no champion. So I'm pretty sure that you are looking to get that belt, correct?
Hopefully one day.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So speaking of that, man, what do you feel are you the type of person that looks long-term, like long-term goals, and you're looking down the road and say, yeah, I want to be champion. I want to do this. I want to fight this guy. I want to this, or are you a more one step at a time kind of guy? What are the goals that you have in Muay Thai? What are the goals for Victor Saravia, man?
Like long-term or short-term, man?
Well, I mean, long-term. Yeah, I guess long-term as well, but I wanted to ask you a question. Also, do you look at it like that, or you just like to take it one step at a time, or do you really look down the road like that?
I would say I look more of as a long term mm-hmm. as to what I want to accomplish.
Yeah.
But like once I do get a fight with somebody, then I just focus on that particular moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, but I do look at how I want. What I want during, like, down the line in the future, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, maybe, hopefully, get that Lion fight belt or be a WBC champ, fight in, like, K1 or fight everywhere, international, you know?
Yeah.
Like, those are my goals. And hopefully inspire people to show them that, you know, just people who are involved in, like, drugs or in gangs or people who think that, that there's nothing to life or there's no purpose. I want to show them that there's a reason to live. Like everyone has a purpose to live, you know, like go out there and achieve your goals and work hard for it. That's the reason why I want to fight, you know, like I've said this so many times, like I want to go down as like the greatest. So as the greatest, and I want to inspire people down the line as I fight, you know, so that's my biggest goal.
Mm. Very awesome. Very well said, man. I mean, so, I mean, that's
pretty cool to have.
Yeah, man, that's, you definitely have the right mindset, like I said. And I mean, to talk about that sort of turnaround too, that you're talking about, like inspiring people that might right now be listening to you and have situations with drugs or have situations with gangs and feel like there's no, you know, sort of no way out of a pretty crappy situation. The ability to see somebody like yourself turn it all around and then dedicate themselves to do what they love to do and find something that you're passionate about. And in this case, channel all that, let's say it was like some of that negative energy, but now get rid of that energy and channel all that energy into something positive. Yeah, man, you're like I said, you're definitely inspiring people and you're doing, not only are you inspiring people that follow you, and hopefully more people listen to you, because you know, I've loved talking to you, and you know, I really like your mindset, and I really like your championship mentality, man. I feel like you have so much to show other fighters and inspire other fighters that are, you know, going to one day become professional. But I just think that also you have a style that is incredibly exciting for other people to watch, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, man. So last thing, before we go, I understand too that you recently, I know that you had a sister, your sister fought, and I think you have a brother too that fights. I mean, is your whole family involved in fighting?
Well, my mom, she was a basketball player, a really good basketball player when she was young.
Uh-huh.
And I have my sister just fought last week, and really, like, she made me really proud, because she was having like a lot of losses, like maybe 4 or 3 losses, and mm-hmm. she came back, trained super hard, and her technique was just on point. I was just really proud of her.
Nice.
My little brother, he fought like a month and a half ago, won a title belt from the Thai festival.
Nice.
And he's I wish I could see him fight more, but I don't think that's his passion, you know. He did it just to try it out, but he loves engineering, he likes building robots, and that's his passion, you know.
Yeah.
But he's a really good fighter.
All right, cool, man. So so we got to say that the warrior blood runs in the Saravia family then, man.
Yeah.
Definitely, man. All right, man. So with all that said, listen, man, we wish you nothing but luck on July 31st. We'll definitely be watching. I'm a huge fan, dude. I think you're going to continue to inspire people. I think you're going to continue to just definitely make waves in the sport. And if Ramon Dekkers is the person you want to mimic, you're obviously doing the right thing, and you're making that name proud, because you're definitely scoring some huge, doing, you know, you're scoring knockouts, you're, you know, doing like fight of the night sort of performances. And I think it's just going to continue for you, man. So we're behind you 100%, man. And I've really loved talking to you today on this podcast. I think you're an inspiring guy, man. So keep up the great work, man. Keep up the great
work. Thank you, guys.
All right. So thank you very much, man. And all right, man. So good luck on July 31st.
Right.
Everybody, keep it locked. Check it out on Axis TV. It's going to be Lion Fight July 31st. Victor Saravia will be facing off with Stan Mancebo. Thanks a lot, Victor.
All right. Good night, guys.
Good night. All right, everybody. So thank you once again to Victor Saravia for coming on the podcast. You know, I was really, really, really impressed. The man, he's definitely got sort of that mentality of that championship, sort of the way he talks, that you can definitely tell that this kid is centered and knows what he wants to do, and really there's a lot of success in store for him. And I'm very, very excited to continue to see him fight, man.
Yeah, definitely very, very impressed by someone who's only 21. I know when I was 21, I didn't sound anywhere close to that.
Yeah, no, man. I was, like I said, he surprised me with the, you know, just to how in tune he was, in tune he talked about being with his body, and kind of focused on what he was eating and what he's doing. Dude, at 21, man, at 21, I was like fucking at probably going to like Burger King and Wendy's and shit, you know, and drinking. Yeah,
I was eating cheeseburgers and drinking beers 5 nights a week.
Yeah, man. I don't think I even got like centered in when I actually started actually like focusing on Muay Thai and starting to fight more for like the titles that I was fighting here in Florida. I was what, like 24, 25 when I started kind of centering, getting a little bit more serious with it.
Yeah.
And that didn't last as long as I would have liked it to last, man. You know, it was just, it's really hard. And I mean, I think that's what sets apart high level guys from just like everybody else. And definitely Victor has everything that I feel a high level athlete, whether you're in any sport, but a high level athlete needs to have. And that's like, it's just this really sort of focused, the way he spoke, everything is just this really focused mentality where nothing, man, like you see very little things are going to make him fall out of like what he has his, you know, his goals set on. So, no, totally impressed, man. Like I said, he's only 21 years of age, 3-0, has fought some tough names like Anthony Custerhan and Andy Singh, fought Sam Poulton into like what was obviously an insane fight. If you guys haven't seen that, please check it out. I think you can find it online. That was definitely one of the best fights we've seen, at least from Lion Fight in the last year. In any of the Lion fights, that was a really, really exciting fight, and pretty amazing that he was a part of it. And I was really happy to talk to him. And yeah, definitely, man. I'm not gonna say, because now I have to recheck myself every time I say favorite fighter, because Vinny's gonna get on my ass when I say shit like that. But I mean, I wouldn't say he's favorite fighter yet, because obviously he's still young in his career and whatnot. But very impressed, man. This guy is really somebody that that I think all of you that are listening to the podcast, if you listen to our show, you love Muay Thai, keep an eye on him, man. I definitely think this guy is going to do some big things in the sport, and I can't wait to see the fight on July 31st. He's going to fight Stan Mancebo. Haven't seen too much of Stan fight, but you know, I'm pretty sure he's going to have his hands full, just as much as Victor is going to have his hands full, because I don't think you can, as Victor said, you cannot underestimate anybody. So, but yeah, man, I think he's destined for a lot, you know. He's definitely destined for a lot of greatness, especially in the sport. And if he's got his eyes set on the WBC and Lion Fight, the Lion Fight belt, I can definitely see that happening, because his style, his drive, everything is on point, man.
I think Eric has a new man crush.
Oh, dude, yeah, bro. I think so. I'm just amazed when I think, you know what.
We could tell by the amount you're talking, because you haven't shut up from after his first sentence.
Well, no, man, because I just, like I said, dude, it's I know you could give me shit all the time, bro, but you know,
well, because there's certain times where, like, I actually, you know, few and far in between, I have something to say.
Yeah,
but you just don't shut up, and by the time like you stop talking, you've already gone through like four topics past that. So, and it's like, why even bother?
Oh man, well, you know, I mean, it's just like, yeah, when I think I was excited to talk to him, and then plus the thing is, you guys, we were saying beforehand, we had a lot of problems getting Victor on, because I got sick, and then I had to cancel on him. And then we had a problem with like his phone, and then he had to use somebody else's phone. And then we were thinking about using an iPad, and the iPad wasn't working. So it was been a little struggle to get him on. So finally, I was kind of finally excited to be able to speak with him and talk to him. And I, like I said, I was a big fan. I became a big fan after that fight with Sam Poulton. And I think, like I said, man, I think he's got the thing is, man, I think there's something there, and I listened to other podcasts that talk to athletes, and like high level athletes, guys that are really, really, I guess, really successful in whatever sport they do or in any business they do. And there's a certain mindset that some of the highest, most successful people have. And it's this sort of calmness and this drive and this ability to sort of keep their eye on the prize, and nothing is going to deter them from that. And not only are they keep their eye on the prize, but they try to find other ways to make sure that nothing gets in the way of them achieving a goal. And in this case, like I said, with Victor, you can tell that there is this, like you said, like he's just so focused on what he's eating, on like, okay, I got to take a nap, I got to listen to my body in case it, you know, if it's telling me to stop or I'm training too hard, make sure I got to rest so that my body's at its peak level when it needs to be at its peak level, man. And there's not a lot of people, there's people that are at 20. I mean, at 21, there's not a lot of people at 21 that are doing that, let alone people that do that even in their 30s or 40s, man, that think like that, you know? So that's something that definitely, like I said, is pretty inspiring with his mentality.
He's got that tunnel vision.
Yeah, man.
He knows what he wants, and he's going for it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. That's what I think. That's what's impressed me the most, speaking with him today. And yeah, man. So, all right. So moving on from there, man. Like I said, once again, you know, shout out to Victor Saravia. You know, We'll definitely keep an eye on his fight July 31st. That's Lion Fight. It will be on Access TV. Make sure you guys check it out. He's going to be fighting Stan Mansiebel, and that's going to be on the same card as the Liam Harrison versus Malapet fight, as well as Tiffany Van Soest will be defending her title as well. And there's a couple of other good fights on that card with Kevin Ross, obviously, coming back, and he will be fighting against Rung Rat. Romy Adanza against our boy Daniel McGowan from the UK. So there's a lot of great fights on that card. I'm really excited for this one, and definitely check it out. And like as we said, Victor's going to be on there as well, so you definitely don't want to miss any of those fights. All right, man. So with that said, we will now pretty much make sure that you guys check out strikingcorner.com. That is our main website. All our podcasts are on there, as well as articles and profiles and pictures and other things that we've done over the years. You can also check us out on Instagram at Striking Corner and on Twitter at Striking Corner as well. We're also on Facebook.com, which is probably our most active platform. Facebook.com/Striking Corner. We're posting on a lot of things there as well. Pictures, memes, everything we can. Fights that we're interested in, classic fights. We just posted one of Boakao, and we post like videos of Sanchai and different fighters that, different videos that we're just, you know, excited to watch, and that definitely we think you guys should all check out and comment on. Also, make sure to sign up for our newsletter. We're going to actually have a newsletter coming out soon. It's called The Striking Connoisseur. We are currently in the process of, you know, guys, if you want to be part of the Striking Connoisseur email club, make sure you sign up. You can sign up on Facebook, and you can also sign up on our website as well. You'll see the all the tabs there that where you can sign up for the newsletter. So sign up, and we should have the first newsletter out in a week or so, or 2 weeks or so. So what we want to do with that is eventually what we're going to do is as we produce more gear that Vinny and I are working on getting some more t-shirts and things like that. So we're going to do that, and eventually we'll have discounts and things like that that'll be exclusive just to people that are signed up to the Striking Connoisseur. All right, guys, so that's pretty much it. You can always contact us via email at info@strikingcorner.com, and you can also contact me, Eric, at strikingcorner.com, and Vinny, they can contact you how?
Vinny@strikingcorner.com, and on social media, which I post just about as much as I talk on the show. it's Twitter and Instagram. It's Vinny Scotto, S-I-M-T.
So, All right, man. So you guys can check out Vinny on the social media and on Instagram as well, or Twitter. And you can also email him there at Vinny@strikingcorner.com, as well as myself at Eric@strikingcorner.com. All right, guys, so that's it for us this week. We will be back in 2 weeks for another podcast with another quality guest, and somebody that you guys will all be interested in hearing from. And that's it, guys. This is The Striking Corner signing off.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner, your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide.